Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John Jackson, the Joker from X, and I here at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas for our final day of coverage from the SHOT Show, catching up with some great folks down here, but also excited to be back in studio next week so that we can catch up with you and get your phone calls. We are getting your messages on the Montana Talks app, though. John, I just got a great message here from Tim in Billings. He says, I have a quick question. Senators Collins and Murkowski, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, they are questioning Pete Hegseth's qualifications. Here's Pete Hegseth, who's a combat veteran who actually wore the uniform, served overseas, and, you know, hugely influential, created this Concerned Veterans for America organization, which was huge in fighting for our troops, fighting for our veterans, but also fighting to fix our foreign policy and our military strategy in the Middle East at the time. And then, of course, nationally known through his role on Fox and Friends, where he interacts daily on public policy with policymakers and more. But this is Tim in Billings. He says, so here they are questioning Pete Hegseth's qualifications. Well, I question their qualifications. What makes Lisa Murkowski qualified to be a senator for Alaska other than the fact that her daddy was a senator? If I recall correctly, she was appointed initially to replace her daddy. Well, daddy's little girl gets the world handed to her on a silver platter to become one of the most influential people in America, while people like Pete offer up their lives in service of our country. The Alaskan people should be ashamed of her representation and primary her ASAP. Yeah, I went off. I mean, when I heard this news that Lisa Murkowski was going to vote against Pete Hegseth, it's like, oh, but you could vote for Rear Admiral Rachel Levine, the freaking, you know, cross-dressing guy. I mean, give me a break.
Qualifications? I mean, Blinken? Mayorkas, Mayor Booty Fudge, Lloyd Austin, they voted for all of them. And you're talking about Pete Hegseth doesn't have the qualifications. I mean, por favor, please, spare me this crap. You know what they're doing is they know they all got there in the back room and, okay, we've got the 51 votes, so we're going to let you two guys over there going to get the virtue signal to your voters. That's all that is. This is a little game. They know they're going to get – he's going to get – through, so they're going to play their little game. And no, you're going to see this happen over and over and over again. So many of President Trump's nominees, it's going to be this 51 votes or this 50 votes. Whereas you look back at Obama's people and Biden's people, they're getting through on these vast bipartisan majorities, 60, 70, 80 votes. I mean, it's ridiculous. And one time Republicans need to play this back to them.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah, no, it's just so outrageous. And the silver spoon aristocrats like Lisa Murkowski, it just flies in the face of everything we as Americans stand for. We got to talk about our southern border, the illegal aliens, plane loads of illegals on their way out of here right now as we speak. But a letter from Yellowstone County is very interesting, so I want to talk about that at some point as well. Stand by.
Securing America.
The Senate approves the nation's new CIA director, John Ratcliffe.
The yeas are 74, the nays are 25.
At his recent confirmation hearing, Ratcliffe went through some of our country's biggest security threats: China, Iran, the border, the Russia-Ukraine war, and risk of nuclear fallout, and North Korea. Ratcliffe also told the Senate panel he will look to increase the CIA's capacity to obtain human intelligence, quote, in every corner of the globe, no matter how dark or difficult. At his swearing-in, Vice President J.D. Vance shared why Ratcliffe has the full trust of the president.
He really believes deeply in the mission, first of all, of keeping Americans safe, but also doing it in a way that ensures that the American people have confidence in our national intelligence services.
Ratcliffe was President Trump's director of national intelligence during the Trump first term. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is so cool. We talk about coming to the SHOT Show in Las Vegas and catching up with old friends, catching up with people we served with several years ago, getting to see them for the first time in a long time, or getting to see people for the first time ever in person. So, John Jackson, our next guest here, John Fabricatori, retired ICE field office director. He was the state field office director for Colorado and Wyoming. I've had him on the radio a number of times. Great guest, especially when it comes to border security and everything that, you know, that we've seen with this invasion over the last few years. But now we get to see him actually in person here at the SHOT Show. When you met him, did you say, oh, I'm dangerous, ICE? Did you do that little reference?
You just had to do the bite.
Yeah. If Tim Sheehy was here, we'd have him play the Iceman, you know, character with the ICE field director here in the house. Well, why don't you throw, I've gotten to catch up with John Fabricatori a few times. Why don't you throw the first question towards
him? Well, I thought what he just told me off the air was very, very instructive about who the Biden regime is. I don't know if he wants to talk about that on the air.
Sure, no. I don't know.
That's exactly who they are.
Yeah. So, you know, when we were talking off the air, I was talking about the Afghanistan withdrawal and how I got dragged into that and brought over to DHS headquarters in D.C. to work on that withdrawal. And there were a lot of unvetted Afghanis that were coming in from Afghanistan. We had no idea who they were. They weren't part of the coalition helping us out over there, but thousands got on those planes and wound up in the United States. They wound up in these safe havens that we set up around the country, and many of them just walked off of these safe havens. We had, at one point in time, it started with about 400 that we were investigating. By the end of the what was called Operation Allies Welcome, there were over 12,000 that had walked off of the bases and just disappeared. So I made a complaint about that, and instead of them looking into the complaint on why people were walking off of the safe havens, they wound up investigating me and my guys.
Of course.
And, you know, to me, I was toward the end of my career. I'd already served 30 years, but, you know, combined with my Air Force time, and I said, you know, I'm pulling the trigger. I'm done. I'm retiring. I cannot work for the Biden administration. They're ruining this country. It's a mess. I retired. I went home, and then I got pissed off at myself because that's not me, man. I don't quit. And so I wound up jumping back in. I ran for Congress. I'm with Heritage Foundation as a visiting fellow. You know, I testified in Congress to Congress 2 days ago. I'm back in the game. I'm back fighting. I'm glad President Trump is in office and, you know, going to do what we need to do to secure the border and make this country safe. And now I'm here at the SHOT Show talking to you guys.
One of the best things I loved about having you on the show last year is, you know, you'd have these people that say, okay, yeah, illegal aliens, we get it, we're opposed to that, but not the refugees and the asylees. And it's like, guys, these are illegal aliens that they're just handing out a sticker to.
Yeah.
And well, they're on legal status. Okay, basically all you're doing is, you made the point, they're abusing the refugee and asylee process. Yeah. And basically they're illegal aliens, but under a different name.
No, they are illegal aliens. So if you come into this country illegally, and even if you claim asylum, your notice to appear, what you get to appear in front of an immigration judge, it says you entered the country illegally.
you're now going in front of an immigration judge to ask for asylum, but you're still an illegal alien asking for asylum. So technically, your status is at the border, still knocking to come in, and you're asking now to get asylum. What we normally did in the past is those people would go into custody first. So you'd be put into detention, you would see an asylum officer, you'd get a credible fear hearing, and then see an immigration judge. And an immigration judge would then decide whether you have an asylum claim to let you into the U.S. The Biden administration didn't do that. They let in millions of people, millions, lightly vetted. They had no idea what their criminal backgrounds were in the countries that they lived in. And they let them into the United States. And now we're dealing with those problems now. We see it with Tren de Aragua. We see it with the terrorists that we've arrested that have gotten into this country and roamed around for a year. We're seeing it with our crime rates going up because we let in a lot of people that we had no idea who they were.
Well, we got that case right out of Montana, Aaron, over in Missoula, where there was just a handful of these Afghans, the refugees.
Or parolee was his. I think he was a parolee. Yeah, who allegedly raped an 18-year-old girl in a college town.
The parole is a lot of fraud, too. So they're not. So the Biden administration used parole wrong. Okay, it's supposed to be humanitarian purpose. It's supposed to be used a very, very small amount of people to come in on this parole status. They opened up parole to let in, again, hundreds of thousands of people that we have no idea who they were. And now you're dealing with it, Montana.
So what's the good news? What are you seeing in the news already this week? You testified on Capitol Hill. I mean, you know, we're already seeing, you know, some plane loads of illegal aliens getting flown out of this country. We've got, you know, county commissioners in Montana who are saying, hey, we've got a facility. We can help temporarily hold these people so that you can then ship them out of this country. Sheriffs are stepping up and more. What's the good news you're seeing?
Yeah, so, you know, number one, the good news is the men and women of ICE now know that President Trump has their back and that they can go and they can actually do their job. The Immigration Nationality Act is actually a good set of laws. You hear the Democrats constantly say immigration law is broken. It's not broken. You just never, you never worked within it. You didn't use it. You just, you know, subverted everything in the law and you did nothing. But if we actually enact the law as it's written, good things will happen. And that's what Donald Trump's doing. We're starting to see it with the arrests that are occurring, the deportations that are happening. And it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah. So the Heritage Foundation had a tweet featuring part of your back and forth with, I'm assuming, better be a Democrat member
of
Congress.
Yeah, okay. Cohen out of Tennessee.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, the Heritage Foundation, you know, you were basically asked a question by this guy. Well, you know, if we try to deport all these people, it's just going to cost money and we just don't have money right now. Oh really? You guys had money for everybody else. You had money to bring these people here and fly them all over the country. But now you're telling us you don't have money to get these people the heck out of this country. We'll start there next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If you're in the forecasting business and you know one of the time-tested ways to recover from making a forecast that turns out to be wrong, make another one. That applies to the weather as well as the stock market, and especially to the economy. Higher interest rates and worsening consumer credit has caused us to predict slowdowns for at least 2 years that didn't materialize. Will this year be any different? Consider the rapid growth that's been unfolding in the two fastest-growing parts of Montana, Flathead and Gallatin counties. The reasons vary, but these high-amenity parts of the state have added jobs and population at a blistering clip in last few years. Gallatin County added more jobs, 18,000, since 2020 than exist in total in Butte Silverbow. Now Standard & Poor's, the forecaster used by state government, says the party is ending. Job growth in both Flathead and Gallatin counties will fall to just 1% in 2026 after four straight years of actual job growth of excess of 4%. Will it happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The Congressional Progressive Staff Association, or CSPCA, announced its official withdrawal of a letter requesting a rotating 32-hour work week on Capitol Hill. The initial letter argued that a reduction in working hours would improve the work done on the Hill. Quote, the letter failed to make two things clear. First, that progressive congressional staff are dedicated to serving the American people, no matter how many hours it takes to get the job done, said the progressives. The staffers also added that there were, quote, long-standing workplace issues that deserve the attention of Congress. The staffers said a 32-hour work week would not address their problems after Democratic Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren and other lawmakers criticized the effort. Warren characterized it as a, quote, terrible idea, adding that her staff hasn't seen what she called a 42-hour work week in months. Warren said her aides work for the public. New York Democrat Richie Torres had a question. Quote, I wonder how blue-collar Americans would feel about white-collar workers demanding a 32-hour work week. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to be back here with John Jackson and John Fabricatore. Man, I should just keep recording during the commercial breaks here, too, because the conversation amongst these two has been incredible. All right, let's start here. I want to bring up the Yellowstone County letter to the Trump administration as well. But, so John, I want to get your you haven't seen nor heard this clip yet unless you saw me tweet it out yesterday. But let me see. Let me play this here. So this is John Fabricatore, retired ICE field office director. He testified on Capitol Hill earlier this week. And then this Democrat Congressman Cohen asking him a question when it comes to, you know, deporting all these illegal aliens that have invaded this country.
The focus should be on criminals initially, but if you're violating the immigration law, you violated the immigration law. You violated laws of the United States. And at some point in time, that needs to come to a reckoning.
We don't have enough monies to put into this to deport everybody that's in that category, right?
I would ask that you would fund that, sir, as Congress.
Well, if we fund it, we probably have to cut out lots of basic programs we've got now. It's a tremendous amount of money, billions and billions of dollars.
I don't put a cost on United States citizens' lives, sir.
The folks.
All right, there you go, John. Yeah, your reaction to this Democrat congressman.
Wait. Is billions and billions of dollars a problem now, Aaron? Didn't they just, they'll lose $6 billion to Ukraine. They're sending $20 billion every 90 days or every 6 months over to Ukraine. But Cohen there thinks, oh, a couple of billion. We can't spend that money to get all these illegals out of our country. These guys are so full of Adam Schiff, it just makes me sick.
Yeah, all of a sudden they don't have money. They've had money for every other country in the world. They had money for drag queen story hours in Ecuador. They've had money. But no, when it comes to protecting and securing the United States of America, no money.
Look, the American people stepped up. They voted in President Trump for a reason, okay? Because they want that security. They want illegal immigration dealt with. We're going to need to put some money on it, right? I mean, we're going to have to put the resources in place so that we can be successful in this mission of making sure that we secure our communities and we get these criminal illegal aliens out. And all illegal aliens, we have to have a reckoning, like I said there. There needs to be a reckoning on immigration so that we can have a fair and equitable, and I hate that word, but seriously.
But for a
real immigration process, because look, legal immigration is good. Okay. This is the country that we are. We have good legal immigration. But even the legal immigration right now is horrible because of what's happening with illegal immigration. So we can't have a good system because of how much illegal immigration that we have.
I want to see if you agree with me on something now, because you worked for these people. You worked underneath these people. Here's what I've been saying for a while. There's always this inclination when we got Trump in, there's always this inclination on the Republican side to just let bygones be bygones and let's move forward, right? But I'm telling you right now, if we don't hold Mayorkas and all of his people accountable civilly, criminally, all of this for what they did over these last 4 years, you and I both know, John, what's going to happen. The next, when Gavin Newsom comes in, they're going to fling open the border again. These people have to be held accountable for this.
Yeah, especially, I mean, Mayorkas did a horrible job. I can't even stress how bad of a job he did as a Homeland Security Secretary. He made this country so much less safe by the policies that he did not enforce. So you're right.
And yet Joe Biden didn't pardon him before he left
he
office.
Did not.
I wonder
did
how
not.
Alejandro Mayorkas is feeling.
He's
about that.
He's sweating right now. Sweating.
Oh man, let's bring a local angle to this story now as well. I saw this tweet from Montana's Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke here yesterday, and we did our show from his office on Tuesday morning. Round them up, send them home. Montana stands ready to execute the president's directive and remove the criminal illegal aliens from our communities and send them back home to their countries of origin. I applaud Yellowstone County commissioners for their creative solution to help with the effort. You're serving the people who elected you and the American people at large. So this was a letter signed by the chairman of the Yellowstone County Commissioners in Montana, Commissioner Morse, Mark Morse. Basically, so we have this Metro Park, indoor arena stadium-like facility, right? And so what they're saying is, like, look, jails are full because you've let all these criminals into this country, and that's fed the crime crisis. So our jails are full, our prisons are full. So we need to round up and detain these illegal aliens, but then where do we hold them? Well, we don't need to, just create some sort of a temporary holding facility, and it doesn't need to be a full-blown jail, or we don't need to go build a bunch of new, we need to build stuff, but that's a separate conversation. But for the purpose of rounding up illegal aliens and getting them out of this country, from Tren de Aragua to the drug cartels to, Russians or whoever else, just put them somewhere. And so what these Yellowstone County commissioners are saying, hey, we've got this facility here. It's right down the road from the airport. You can use this as a temporary holding facility while you wait for the planes to ship these folks out of here.
Yeah,
from the region. Yeah.
It's actually a good plan. I mean, there's policy in place to set up temporary detention facilities for the deportation process. We've used it many, many times. I remember working the Olympics in Salt Lake City, and before the Olympics, we actually swept through Utah and arrested as many criminal illegal aliens as we could to try to make that community safer before the Olympics. It's kind of you worked law enforcement. It's kind of what we do. We know something's coming up, so we go in, we do a massive sweep. But just like what happened there, we didn't have the detention space, so we had temporary facilities to put those people in and until we could move them out. And the infrastructure's there. We just got to put the money and resources where we need it and make sure it happens. It's really that simple. And now we've got a president that's going to make sure that it does happen.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Well, one thing I've been saying for a while, and I think you're a perfect guy to ask this question. I've been saying for a while that these guys in the field, and particularly maybe on the southern border, these last 4 years, yeah, they've been following all of the Biden regime's edicts, because they're ordered to, and they don't want to get fired. But see, I think I know my people. I think I know my people in law enforcement. And those guys down there, every one of those emails and those texts and those memos, they've been hitting print and putting in a little file, and they got their file at home. And all you got to do is subpoena these guys and get them to testify. Here's the proof of the illegal orders that I was given from D.C. to do A, B, and C.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Since I've retired and I've been pretty vocal and doing media, I've had a lot of men and women that work federal law enforcement reach out to me with stories and certain evidence that they've collected over that time, sharing it with me. And I've been, hold on, we're gonna use it. We're gonna get there. Okay, Donald Trump is gonna get in office. I can feel it. We'll be able to share this with the world, what you guys have been dealing with. And you know what? We won, and now we can.
Yeah, and already you're seeing the media, they're going to start trotting out sob stories.
Yes.
And, oh, they questioned a guy. Oh, they questioned a guy? Really? You're outraged at that, but you guys weren't outraged at a young woman that got murdered by an illegal alien. But they questioned a guy. Give me a break.
Yeah, I did an interview down, it was over Zoom yesterday with a television station down in Dallas. And the reporter called the illegal aliens that were arrested by ICE victims.
What?
She called them victims of ICE.
Oh my goodness.
She said the victims of ICE's arrests.
Oh.
And so I called her out on it. I was like, they're not victims. They were arrested for entering this country illegally. They broke the law. She's like, but they didn't commit other laws. They were just here illegally.
Oh my
goodness.
Like,
so should we throw our hands up and just, all right, okay, yeah. No. They broke the law. They're not victims, okay?
She called them victims.
She called them, and you're going to see that.
Did she get pretty mad when you called her out,
too? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They actually cut that out of – they cut me calling her out of the actual broadcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because they had taped it. It was pre-taped.
That's what they
did.
I wish
I would have. But I actually I called her out on email.
After
she emailed me the clip, I was like, you cut that out?
Yeah.
I was
post the full video.
Yeah, exactly.
Post the full video.
Exactly.
Wow. Although – Did she call them victims in her live broadcast? Maybe, you know.
She did. She called them victims.
She still called them victims
in the live broadcast.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
She needs to be done. I would get that to
Oh, I actually put it on X. I said, this is what she said, and I called her out, and they cut it.
Oh, I threw that on X. You should be on Fox News tonight. Yeah. You should be daily
but,
caller.
This is what's going out to the left media, though. They have their terms. They've got their talking points. They've already got rallies set up. There's going to be a rally this Saturday in Denver supporting the immigrant communities. Immigrants should not be worried about ICE.
Yeah.
You're here legally. You have no worry. Who should be worried? Illegal immigrants. You should be worried.
And in fact, and we know they're not worried because that's why they voted for Donald J. Trump. That's why Hispanics voted for Donald J. Trump because they came here
immigrants
legally.
Immigrants aren't worried.
And now they see criminals, you know, bringing the crime and the corruption that they tried to escape right into their own neighborhoods once again.
Did you guys see the headline from the New York Times? I think it was 2 days ago. This is a headline of the New York Times. They're saying how going after the cartels was going to be bad for the U.S. economy.
Oh, yeah, I mean, no kidding.
Really, a frequent thing we say out here is you cannot hate these people enough. You really can't.
Yeah, well, hold that thought for just a second here. Speaking of the economy, let me tell you what's been good for my pocketbook this week. I'm in Las Vegas. Everything is expensive in Las Vegas, right? Well, I'm saving a lot of money this week because right now I'm doing my diet tune-up. About 2-3 week diet tune-up. I try to do it at least once a year with Billings Last Diet. So I've got some great protein snacks in my backpack. And so that's, you know, so I've got that to eat throughout the day. And then last night I had I had some good beef and some good vegetables. The night before I had some good, you know, some good steak and some good vegetables. And I'll tell you what, I feel great. Man, I feel like I'm firing on all cylinders down here. Well, part of it's because we're surrounded by some great Americans, and I still got my coffee, right? But that's what it comes down to, getting that ideal amount of protein and those veggies in your system. And, man, you will shed off the weight. You will tune up real fast. I'm doing it thanks to Billings Last Diet. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com. They've got a remote option that anybody across Montana can put to work.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, FBI guy. I was telling the FBI guy last night, I'm like, man, if you don't show up tomorrow, you know, John's going to be talking trash. He'll be like, oh, I see that FBI friend of yours never showed up this morning, you know. So, yeah.
Well, I think John will back me up on this. If you're asking for a miracle, I give you the F.
Absolutely. No, I've worked with enough.
I've said it before. I got to work with some FBI special agent bomb techs, and they were great guys, you know, at least my experience. But this guy, he's a real good guy. Lives in Livingston, Montana right now. But it's kind of cool. He's done some work with, like, these stuntmen in Hollywood. And so... I got to meet. I don't know if he's going to bring some of them over here today, but that was some of the people that I just ended up randomly running into last night with our Montana crew. So, yeah, maybe he'll join us coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. So I ran into an old friend of mine from the Montana Highline back in the day who's down here at the SHOT Show. We'll get to that here in a second. But John Fabricatori, great to see you in person and love to have you on the radio whenever you can join us. But what else do you want to share with our listeners all across Montana and then any of John's ex-followers all across the country as well?
Yeah, look, you know, there's going to be a lot going on with the whole immigration process and mass deportation in the next couple of months. Just be really wary of how the left frames their message. So for the listeners out there, you know, you're going to hear a lot of stuff that's just not true coming out from the left. So keep your ears on Aaron Flint and this radio station, because then you're going to be getting some real truth. But you can also follow me on X. I talk a lot about the issue. So it's John_FABB. And I also wrote a book called De-Iced. It's America in the Era of Open Borders and Unchecked Immigration. You can check that out. And, hey, look, it's a good time. Donald Trump is now the president. We're going to be doing some good things. And just keep your head on a swivel in the next couple of months.
Dean in Kalispell makes a good point here. So they're going to have migrant rallies. What a great place for ICE to show up. With all your friends in one spot. I mean, potential, you know, there you go.
Exactly. You know? We'll see if ICE will actually do it. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's been great to see you. Thanks so much, John, for coming down. John Jackson, any final thoughts from you here with John Fab?
I don't know if you've heard, Trump has now given immigration authority also to DEA, ATF, and the Marshals, which is beautiful.
Yes, it's welcome. Absolutely. It's nice meeting you as well, John.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
All right. Okay, well, all right. Well, let's see. John Jackson's going to be back with us here in a few minutes. He's going to run down the hall, and then, man, we don't know how many folks are going to join us in the next hour of the show. That's part of the fun here is you never know who all is going to show up, especially as the SHOT Show just now gets up and running here for the final day of action. We were kind of joking around. It's the invasion of the tactical pants begins right now. The sea of 511s are inbound right now for the final day of the SHOT Show. Okay, here we go. Next up, let me get this ready to roll for you here, catching up with so many great people here at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Hey, man, this is so cool. Now we're here at the SHOT Show catching up with some old Montana friends, some great Montana businesses. Travis Taylor, so great to see you, my friend.
How you doing, Aaron? I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you, man. I'm so glad somebody you know, found out I was going to be here doing the show. They knew you were coming down here. You and I got to do AAU wrestling back in the day, Glasgow, Montana. I remember it'd be like, oh, dark 30 in the morning, catching a ride with you and your family to Sydney or wherever for those early morning weigh-ins.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was a good time. Good memories here. So glad to bump into you, man.
Yeah, you're in Whitefish now. You eventually moved to Whitefish later on as a kid. And now you've got this incredibly successful business. Not a surprise to me because, man, you were just a natural athlete and hard worker, I remember, in those wrestling practices back then.
Yeah, no, it was great. We moved to Whitefish when I was a sophomore, so it was kind of a hard transition. You know, being in high school, I thought, you know, this is going to be a huge disruptor in my life. But settled into Whitefish and got into business and been cruising since then, and it's been great. You know, Montana-based company working with Montana businesses and, you know, nationwide, and have grown it into a global company now in the payments fintech space.
You're the founder and CEO of Glacier Payments. You've got a booth here, and your whole team is in Whitefish, right?
Yeah, our whole team in the corporate office in Whitefish. We've got a team here. We've got a booth. This is our first time exhibiting. I've been here at the show in years past. Great people, a lot of Montana companies here. Large vendors. The show is amazing. We're getting a lot of traction, and ultimately, we just love this space. We, you know, we're pro gun, we're Montana, and we're happy to be here.
Yeah, it was cool too. There's a friend from Bozeman who's right down the hallway right now, has a similar kind of business that they're involved in, and I was just sitting there watching you guys, and it was like acronym. How do you describe what you do and what your team does in Whitefish, on you know, really all around the world, to some layman like me?
Yeah, sounds good. So our company is a payments company. We're connecting business-to-business transactions or business-to-consumer retail. We are a payments company, so we set up merchants, businesses, billing platforms, tech companies to be able to ease their accounts receivable and accept credit cards. So whether you're a liquor store dry cleaner or a gun retailer or you know a major online distributor going, you know, abroad, we can process payments in really, you know, every major country around the world. We've got partner banks all around the world that allow us to clear and settle transactions in local currency, and it's really great. So, yeah, we get to, you start talking with friendly competitors, and we get acronyms and this and that, and, you know, it's a really big space. You know, the U.S. is massive, but there's, you know, a handful of payments companies here, and it's been great because, you know, I've got my sales team here on the floor when we're connecting and meeting with new people that we're working with and old people. We walked around to every other payments booth, and thanks to you, you've introduced me to the guys down here in Bozeman, and it's very small. We all know each other at the end of the day. In fact, one of their sister companies sends us business on a daily basis, so there's this overlap, and there's this need to be able to network within other payments companies to find out, you know, who can support what and how we can grow together.
You partner with some incredible companies that are here that are major players in the gun world and have major booths here at the SHOT Show. And you partner with some pretty cool products too. Are you able to say any of those names of those products? I don't want to you know jeopardize any client privilege there.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of different vendors here. There's just shy of 3,000 vendors exhibiting. There's going to be in the neighborhood of 50 to 60,000 people coming through here over the next 2 days. It's a 4-day show. We've got some Montana brands that I can talk about for sure. They're right in our backyard in Northwest Montana. We process and empower all the payments for Proof Research. They're right in our backyard there in Columbia Falls, Montana. Shield Arms is another company out of Big Fork. We're onboarding Falcor Defense. One of our marquee clients is Christensen Arms. I just wrapped up a meeting with them. We're doing some strategic relationships with them and all their payments for their B2B and B2C. So, and then there's dozens. I don't want to go over all of them and bore everybody here, but there's knife companies, there's tactical gear, there's water bottle companies, and really everybody that's in this kind of shot related industry that we're networking with and, helping them, ease up their accounts receivable, speed up cash flow, and ultimately allow them to scale their businesses. One of the things that is our value add is, our banking partners that we utilize are pro this industry. And we get a lot of companies that will come to us that said, we're with a major tier one bank like a Chase or a Wells or a Bank of America, and things can shift dramatically and at a moment's notice with those banks. So they'll get shut off or their monies are being held. So our ability to come in and really understand their model and allow them to scale is really what kind of sets us apart from the competition.
Yeah, a lot of those names you mentioned, Christensen Arms, they've got a major booth right here inside of Hall B at the SHOT Show. Shield Arms, Seth Burgley, what a great guy, him and his wife and his team. He's got some great fellow military veterans that are on his team. What a great Montana success story. And, Proof. The Proof Barrels, if you go to the Maxim Defense, they've got a massive show here. They've got Proof Barrels on their sniper rifles and much more. So it's just incredible to be here. It's been fun running into so many friends and people from across Montana because we got our Montana Talks banner, our Tatanka Cigar banner, our 82 Coffee Company banner. So I had a guy from the Highline from Glasgow, I think he's class of 92, drop by and say hi. And then he started talking Eugene's Pizza. And man, I started getting hungry.
Oh, my gosh. Eugene's brings me back. We order pizza from there. Every time we go by the Highline, we're grabbing pizza. It's kind of the staple of Glasgow, Montana, and the Highline, really. It's amazing.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's some great pizza spot. Moose's, I remember going there as a kid, and you got to love the sawdust floors and Moose's. So no matter which side of Highway 2 you're on, there's good people, there's good pizza, and more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, great to see you all the way down here at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. We'll have to catch up in the Flathead for sure as well.
Yeah, sounds good. So great to run into you, and pleasure talking.
Appreciate your time. All right, Travis Taylor, founder and CEO, Glacier Payments, Whitefish, Montana. All right, we'll be back with more coverage here at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. John Jackson, the Joker from X, sidekicking with us the entire time. And then more to follow in the next hour of the show, including the CEO of Olympus Arms.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
It's hard to comprehend what was the purpose of leaving the borders open to allow terrorists, gang members, cartel members, murderers, and rapists in our country. Did anyone ever think there'd be any good that came out of that? Alabama Republican Senator Katie Britt introducing legislation to finish the wall construction, so that's moving forward. And, at the speed of light, Donald Trump is keeping his pledge and his promise. And we're now up to over 500 illegals, many criminals from countries all over the world, are being removed, including countries with terror ties, are being removed. And it's clear no one is above the law here. If you don't respect our laws, borders, and sovereignty, then you are not going to be asked. You're going to be taken home.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
This great country was founded on freedom, and that was freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then tried blockading us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out for them? Well, it's time now to throw out your overpriced big wireless contract, throw it overboard. My friends at Pure Talk, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices, and with a qualifying plan of just $45 a month, you can choose a free iPhone 14 or a free Samsung Galaxy. And yes, this is for premium service. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 25 gigs of data, mobile hotspot. You get all of it at a fraction of the price of AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. Also, they use the same 5G network. So get your free iPhone 14 or your Samsung Galaxy. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword save now and check in with Pure Talk and their U.S. customer service team and make the switch. #250, keyword save now from Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. Three games left in the NFL season. We're up to the conference championships before a two-week break ahead of Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, February 9th on Fox TV. The NFC Championship game between the Eagles and Commanders in Philadelphia, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time on Fox. The NFC East rivals split their regular season series. The Eagles beat the Commanders in mid-November, but when they met for the second time in Landover, Maryland, Week 16, the Commanders came back from 14-0 down behind five touchdown passes from rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels to snap Philadelphia's 10-game win streak. The Eagles are a near touchdown favorite in Sunday's game. Whoever wins will face the winner of Sunday night's AFC Championship in Kansas City between the Chiefs and Bills. Buffalo ended KC's perfect season after a 9-0 start when the Bills beat the Chiefs in mid-November in Western New York. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes has a 3-0 record in playoff games against Bills quarterback Josh Allen. Jared Max, Fox News.
Are you...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we had so much fun at the opener of the 8 o'clock hour of the show yesterday. Fussy Bussy time. It's peanut butter jelly time. And we played a little bit of the Q&A from Sean Davis at the Federalist. He was the moderator for the Governor's Forum panel discussion the day before yesterday. So we played part of that in the 8 o'clock hour yesterday. I just played a brief Q&A from Governor Gianforte. Here's a little bit more about what the governor had to say. He, you know, because he was talking about, you know, Sean Davis was talking about how Governor Greg Gianforte defeated this. What was the quote? Totally deranged anti-gun fruitcake was, I think, fruitcake was the word used by Sean Davis. Here's more of what the governor had to say about how Montana is increasingly turning red.
But I think the bigger story is Montana's bright red now. We, as of this last election, we have 9 statewide elected offices. All 9 are Republican now. And just to put that in perspective, including our new U.S. Senator, Tim Sheehy, who helped us get the majority in the U.S. Senate. But you go back to 2012, which is not that long ago, 13 years, 7 of 8 statewide elected offices in Montana were held by Democrats.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So we, for those of you in bright blue states, there is hope, but it requires recruiting good candidates, working your tail off, and having a state party that knows how to do get out the vote. So we've turned the state around. I had one person say to me recently, who's in the audience here, they said, well, yeah, we got 450 people in our county, and there's 2 Democrats. He says, but it's okay, we know who they are. But I will say, Montana's home to over 150 firearms and ammunition manufacturers. We have more per capita than any other state in the country. We're here at the SHOT Show to thank the vendors that are investing in Montana and to recruit more because we love our Second Amendment. We love our outdoor lifestyle. I know many people have heard me say this, but you can hunt big game in Montana 11 out of 12 months. And the only month you can't hunt big game is July, and the fishing's pretty good in July.
There you go. So that was more of what Governor Greg Gianforte had to say with his pitch at the governor's forum discussion here at the SHOT Show. John, you know, the governor was talking about our Montana lifestyle, our outdoor lifestyle. you're living it up with the Venetian lifestyle here. And, man, aren't the bathrooms in these suites just, like, impressive? Holy cow. You know?
It's like I said, I didn't choose the bougie life. It chose me.
It chose me.
But I'll tell you, have you been to the gym in the Venetian?
Yeah, the gym is a nice
gym, too. Oh, my God. It's like two or three stories, a climbing wall. They got the entire cardio room, the weight side of the house. Amazing.
Oh, yeah. In fact, last year, I ran into – I was at the gym. It was, like, probably, like, on the Friday, and I run into – Magna Rudahl, who works with Maxim Defense. He's good friends with Ryan Zinke. Magna is this Norwegian guy, great guy. He was the head of basically all of Norwegian special forces.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So,
really
cool. So, hey, but, you know, speaking of the bougie lifestyle, man, if you want to have a fancy bathroom or just change up your bathroom, kind of like what John's talking about down here at the Venetian, well, let me tell you about Your Home Improvement Company and what they can do for you in Montana. You can transform your space. When it comes to your bathroom in particular, you get up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat. Plus, they've got an unbeatable deal on windows right now. If you want to save some money on your energy bills, you can buy two windows, get two free. Yes, free. That's a deal you don't want to miss. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation, whether it's windows, bathrooms, or both. Limited time offer you do not want to miss. Again, 406-948-2836 or go to YHIC.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If you're in the forecasting business and you know one of the time-tested ways to recover from making a forecast that turns out to be wrong, make another one. That applies to the weather as well as the stock market, and especially to the economy. Higher interest rates and worsening consumer credit has caused us to predict slowdowns for at least 2 years that didn't materialize. Will this year be any different? Consider the rapid growth that's been unfolding in the two fastest-growing parts of Montana, Flathead and Gallatin counties. The reasons vary, but these high-amenity parts of the state have added jobs and population at a blistering clip in the last few years. Gallatin County added more jobs, 18,000, since 2020 than exist in total in Butte Silverbow. Now Standard & Poor's, the forecaster used by state government, says the party is ending. Job growth in both Flathead and Gallatin counties will fall to just 1% in 2026 after four straight years of actual job growth of excess of 4%. Will it happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.